Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. If you're a guest, we welcome you. Welcome you to First Baptist Church of Thibodaux. And if you're a member, know we love you. We're praying for you. We know it's very difficult times that we're living in today. And we are praying for you. The leadership here, we pray for you every Wednesday. And thank you for being with us on Wednesday. Tuning in online, and as we pray for one another. So welcome to First Baptist Church of Thibodaux. With that said, we are in a series titled The Abiding Life, The Abiding Life, and that is in the book of John, John chapter 15. I shared with you when I started this series, it was this passage of Scripture that the Lord used to refresh my heart, to give me a greater passion for Him. I found myself several years ago just going through the motion of Christianity, getting up, preaching, seeing people, saying hi, saying I love you. And I find that in my heart something was missing. And it was then that the Lord used this very passage of Scripture to help me understand what it means to live a victorious Christian life. And that is abiding in Jesus, abiding in Jesus. So with that said, let's read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17 together. When you've arrived to the text, say, word, can you please stand? We stand out of reverence to God's holy and righteous word. So we're going to read chapter 15, verses 1 through 17 for context. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servants does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. All that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your Son and the wisdom that he has given us in this chapter. Thank you that he has explained to us what it means to abide in him. Father, I pray as we are listening to your word that we are vigilant, alert, watchful, and abiding in Jesus, so that our joy may be full, so that we will love one another, so that we will ask whatever and it will be given to us in the name of Jesus. Father, teach us what we do not know. Make us what we are not, and give us what we do not have. And God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. But the title for today's sermon is, Are You Friends? Or Are You Jesus' Friend? Are you Jesus' friend? Friendship. What comes to your mind when you think of the word friendship? For many of us, we think of love, loyalty. We think of access, availability. We think of laughter. We think of fun. We think of joy. You see, the Bible calls those who love Jesus and are in Jesus many titles. For example, the title is given to those who have placed their faith in Jesus, believers. We are called believers. We are called beloved. We are called elect. We are called children of God. We are called children of light. We are called members of his body. And we are called royal priesthood. Children of righteousness. Slaves of righteousness. And then the Bible calls us friends of God. Wow. By far, one of the most unique aspects of one's communion with Jesus is that we are called friends of God. Friends, do you get this here? This amazing King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the God of the universe, is calling you a friend of his in this passage of Scripture. If you have given your life to Jesus and you are abiding in Jesus, you are called Jesus' friend. Isn't that amazing? Notice very carefully what Jesus says here. He calls us friends, saying, greater love has no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you to do. It is said that a false friend is like your shadow. As long as you stay in the sunshine, he is with you. But the moment you step into the shade, he disappears. That's a false friend. A true friend will stay with you forever. A perfect friend is Jesus, who stays with us through everything. And the perfect definition of a friend, we see it in Jesus Christ, his relationship with us. That he will never leave us or forsake us. That he'll always be with us and always strengthen us. Friends, notice with me this morning, so far what Jesus has taught us in this passage of Scripture is that we must abide in him. This is the main theme. In John 15, over and over and over again, he's saying to remain, to abide in him so that you will bear much fruit. So the fruit here that he is talking about, the greatest fruit in the life of a believer is the fruit of the Spirit. That's the first and primary fruit that we produce in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit. Get this, before we can abide in his word, abide in prayer, abide by witnessing to others, we must first abide in the fruit of the Spirit, produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And this is amazing because over and over and over in the Gospels and also the epistles, Jesus is constantly saying to us, before we can do, we must be. Before we can do, we must be. And being here is being joyful. Being patient, being thankful, being loving, being faithful. This is what we must be. This is the fruit that he's looking for primarily. So friends, notice very carefully how Jesus here in this passage of Scripture from verses 12 through 17, he connects the abiding life to those who are his friends. Do you see it? In other words, I want you to get this. Come in closer and write this down. Abiding in Jesus is to be Jesus' friend. Abiding in Jesus is to be Jesus' friend. This morning, I want us to observe 4 points within this passage of Scripture. 4 points. Notice point number 1. Jesus' friends love each other. So if we are characterized by people who are Jesus' friend, then we must love one another. This is how you can tell you're his friend, because you love each other. You love other Christians. Two, Jesus' friends are obedient to him. Willingly, not begrudgingly, we are obedient to our Lord and Savior. We see this in verses 13 through 14, too. Jesus' friends have access to him and his truth. He says, no longer do I call you slaves, but I call you friends. And I tell you everything that I've heard from my Father. No secrets. All the mysteries are given to you to know, because he is your friend. What great truth. We see this in verse 15. Jesus' friends are appointed by him. Fourth and finally, they are appointed by him. We see this in verses 16 through 17. So my prayer is that you're engaged in the Word of God. Grab hold of his Bible. Turn to it. Don't take my words, but follow the Word of God. Hold me accountable. And most importantly, I want you to apply the truth that you are receiving from his Word. Don't just be spectators. Be participators. And the way you can participate is to listen joyfully and to apply the words of God to your lives. I'm not here to entertain you or entertain anyone. The whole point here is to listen to the words of our Savior and to worship our Savior, to abide in our Savior. So point number one, Jesus' friends love each other. Loves each other. We see this, right? Verse 12, notice in your own Bibles what he mentions here. He mentions, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is a huge and amazing love. Amazing love. Like, he is now commanding us to love each other in the way that he loves us. Now, if you notice with me, friends, see for yourself thus far what is going on. When we understand the love that the Father has for the Son, and in turn, the love that the Son has for us, then that will stimulate a desire in our lives to love each other. This is what Jesus has been teaching us thus far. In verse 9, he talks about the love affair between the Father and the Son. He says the Father loves the Son. And then he turns to his disciples, he turns to us, and he says, I have loved you. And now he turns to us and he says, go and love one another. This is a daunting task. How can we love each other the way that Jesus has loved us? And the way that Jesus has loved us is that he died on the cross for our sins. And there is no way that we can die spiritually for people. Only one person can do this, and this is Jesus. This is perfect love. But here, Jesus is calling us to love sacrificially. Sacrificially, to think deeply about one another. And also to meet the needs of one another. This is no sentimental love or superficial attachment. This is a love that says, I will meet the needs of beloved, of those who belong to Jesus, of the called out ones. James gives us a perfect example of this. And this is James' point when he says, faith without works is dead. And James has in mind as well that true love, true faith will manifest itself in the works that we do. It will. When James mentions this, he says this in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you say to him, go in peace and be warm and filled, without giving them the thing needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have work, it's dead. Same thing with love. Love without works is dead. And we love one another by meeting the needs of one another. This is a command that Jesus gives over and over and over in the Gospels. For example, in John chapter 13, in verses 34 through 35, Jesus mentions a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Friends, come in closer and get this. Get what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying believers' love for each other is the church's most powerful witness to the unbelieving world. It is. You want to see your loved ones come to know Jesus, your family, your co-workers, your neighbors, then love other Christians. Love them. Pray for them. That will be a great platform to share the gospel. But if you are talking bad about other Christians and you cannot stand other Christians and you are talking to your neighbors about other Christians, guess what? Guess what? They will not come to know Jesus or the gospel that you're sharing. The greatest platform that we have in sharing the gospel is the love that we have for one another. Not only in the gospels is it repeated over and over that we are to love one another, but also in the epistles. John, the writer here, the author here in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Notice what he mentions here. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Do you know what John is saying here? One of the fruit that you can tell, one of the main fruit that you can tell that you are a believer is your love for one another. Is your love for one another. Notice with me the second point here. The second point. Jesus' friends are obedient to him. Do you see it? See for yourself in verse 13. In verse 13 of chapter 15. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend. I mean, this is amazing here. That Jesus is doing something incredible. In the first part of this verse, in verse 13, Jesus is saying to us that he's asking, is Jesus your friend? Is he your friend? Greater love than this, that he lays down his life for his people, for those he loves, right? So here it is, is Jesus your friend? And in verse 14, on the other hand, we have this question that we must answer. Are you Jesus' friend? See for yourself in verse 14 what he does here. In verse 14, he says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So friends, here is what we must understand here. It's true obedience. Simple obedience. We are called to obey our Lord and Savior. And by obeying our Lord and Savior, he calls us friends. So in other words, write this down. We are to show our friendship to him by simple obedience. And what do you mean simple obedience here? What is simple obedience? Simple obedience here are three things. Our obedience must be active. Our obedience must be continuous, and our obedience must be in all things. First, active. Jesus mentions in verse 13, you are my friends if you do. Here's the verb do. This is an active verb that he's sharing with us here. Now, coming closer and don't miss this. This is willful, willing obedience, not begrudging obedience. Willing obedience, that we submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and we do what he commands us to do. So we must be active in doing what is right. We must pursue holiness and righteousness. And by doing these things, for sure, we are showing the world and showing ourselves that we are friends of God, friends of Jesus. Second, it must be done continuously. Continuously. Jesus says, if you do, in verse 14, if you do what I command, if you do what I command, and do not quit. How do you get this, Kevin? It's from the verb in the original language. It is a present tense subjunctive, which gives us the idea of consistently doing. Consistently doing. We never stop doing. We never stop obeying our Lord and Savior. The idea here is continuous action. I don't obey Jesus only when I come to church on Sunday and I go home and I act however I want. No, I am consistently desiring to obey Jesus. It is the disposition and attitude of a friend of God to consistently obey him. And when I fail, I am convicted by the Spirit of God. Third and finally, our obedience must be done in all things. You see what he mentions here. If you do whatever I command you, whatever I command you. So saints, we must approach our Lord and say, Lord, what will you have me do? This is the disposition of a friend of God, that we go to our great Savior and say to him, what will you have me do? We write a blank check of our lives and we give it to the Lord and we say, whatever you want, Lord, ask of it. Write it down. This is the will and obedience that we see, the continuous obedience that we see, and obedience in all things that we see in the life of Abraham. When God asked him to sacrifice his only son, that Abraham was willing to do it because he trusts in the Lord. Friends, come in closer and get this. The Lord is asking you to obey him actively, continuously, and in all things. And in all things. Third, Jesus' friends have access to him and his truth. Well, where are you getting this from? Notice in verse 15. In verse 15, Jesus mentions, no longer do I call you servants, For the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends, for all that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. Now coming closer and get this. It's important for you to get this. Because we read this text and we say to ourselves, well, should we not call ourselves servants of God, slaves of God? What about in the Old Testament? Moses called himself a slave of God. Joshua, Caleb called himself a slave of God. What about the New Testament, right? The New Testament. Paul calls himself a bound servant of God, a slave of God. James and Jude called himself a servant of God. And also John the Revelator called himself a slave of God. So what is Jesus saying here to us? Jesus is saying something very incredible in this passage of Scripture. He's saying to us that as we enter into this personal relationship with him and we abide in him, he calls us friends. Friends. And because he calls us friends, we still call him Lord. Do you get it? We still call him Lord because he is master. But he calls us friends. So it's not wrong to call ourselves a slave of God, but there is a greater privilege given to believers today, and that is we are called to be his friend. You know, what I love about this is that a slave back in the days, a slave in Jewish culture was completely different than slavery in America. And a slave in Jewish culture, that slave was bought, owned, and subjected to. He was provided for and protected by his master. He lived in total submission to the will of his master. So yes, we are slaves. But coming closer, there is a greater title for us. We are also friends. And what's the difference between a friend and a slave? William Barclay explained this to us in his commentary. And he shares with us of the customs back in the days and how a king would have a friend. And notice very carefully what a friend of the king would experience. This phrase is lit up by a custom practice at the courts, both of Roman emperors and the king in the Middle East. That's the phrase friend. These courts, there was a very select group called the friends of the king or the friends of the emperor. At all times, they had access to the king. They even had the right to come into his bedchamber and begin at the beginning of the day. He talked to them before he talked to his generals, his rulers, and his statesmen. The friend of the king were those who had the closest and most intimate connection with him. That's what it means to be a friend of God. That he reveals things to us, mysteries about the gospel, how we can be saved, mysteries about our great Savior has been given to you because you are his friend. It has. So that's why, as believers, we can read his word and understand his word, because why? The Spirit has given us clarity in his word because we are his friend. We have access to our great Savior and understanding in his word because you are his friend. Take a look at the final point. Jesus' friends are appointed by him. See for yourself in verses 16 through 17. Here, our great Savior mentions, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the name, in the Father's name, in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another." Coming closer, Jesus gives this verse, verse 16 and 17, these verses, to the disciples to be able to humble their hearts. I want you to get this. There are only two Old Testament saints that are referred to as friends of God. It's Abraham and it's Moses. So at this very moment, as Jesus is saying, "You are not slaves, but friends," I can imagine the spiritual pride within the hearts of the disciples. Wow, I am Jesus' friend. I am Jesus' partner. Man, it must be cool to be his friend. I am special. I am good. I am awesome. And then Jesus turns to them and say, he said to them, "There is nothing about you that I have necessarily looked in and say, well, he is special and therefore I have appointed him." No. I chose you. Even in your filth, even in your pride, even in your sins, even in your depravity, I chose you. I've set you apart to do the will of God. It is not because of your good works. It is not because of your great personality. It's not because of your religion. It is because of my electing choice. This is beautiful here. This will humble the hearts of the disciples and also our hearts. So when you are filled with spiritual pride, well, God must make more people like me. No. When we fully understand the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the gospel of God, we submit to God. Humbly submit to Him every day. I am something because of you, not because of me. It's because of you. This verse here, or these verses 16 and 17, are given to the disciples to humble their hearts. Humble their hearts. The word appointed in Greek carries a connotation of being set apart or ordained. Now, specifically, with the apostles, they are set apart and ordained to write holy scriptures and to plant churches. But there's also a set apart and ordination for us believers as well. That set apart and ordination is to go. Do you notice in the text? I have appointed you to what? To go. What do you mean go? To be my witnesses. Every single one of you in this room, if you have given your life to Jesus, and you are abiding in Jesus, you are Jesus' friend, and Jesus commissions his friend to go out and share the gospel. To go and share the gospel. Having chosen and trained his disciples, Jesus commanded them to go into the world to proclaim the good news about him and to bear fruit. Friends, the Christian life is not a spectator sport. We sit in our pews, we sit on the side, and we just observe. No, no, no. The Christian life is about participating. It's about being involved. It's about going. It's about being active and not passive. It's about sharing Jesus through the world. That's what the Christian life is about. Jesus says to us that we must go. Go, and as we are going, whatever we ask in his name, whatever we ask in his name, whatever we ask to the Father, he will give it to us. So as we're sharing Christ, as we're asking Jesus to open the hearts of people, it's his great will, his great pleasure to do so. So we must go. As I think of friendship in the Bible, I think of by far one of the greatest examples, human examples of friendship in the Bible with Jonathan and David. I mean, as you read that passage of Scripture, it's amazing. As you think about those two guys, they really shouldn't be friends. They should not have been friends. Because Saul, Jonathan's father, wanted David dead. He was jealous of David. He pursued David on a consistent basis to kill him. But for some reason, Jonathan loved David, and David loved Jonathan. You had one who basically, because he is the son of the king, he is next in line to be the next king. And then you had another one who aspired to be the next king, and that is David. And you would think they would oppose each other, but that did not happen. They sacrificed for one another. They met each other's needs. And therefore, we have a great picture of a great friendship in Scripture. When we think of our friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there must also be sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice, he did. He died on the cross so that you can have life. He died so that you can be reconciled with the Father. He died so that you can live. And when you enter into that relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, what he commands, what he asks, is that you obey him. Is that you love one another. Is that you die to self and live for Jesus and serve others. Do you see it? This is how the friendship works. The ultimate sacrifice has been done by Jesus, but we too are called to die to self and to live for others. So let me ask you this question. How is your friendship with Jesus? Is Jesus truly your friend? Are you Jesus' friend? Are you obeying his commandments and loving others? Join me as we pray together. Father, what a friend we have in Jesus. Although he doesn't call us Lord, although he doesn't call us servant and slave, we still call him Lord. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we have a great relationship with him where he looks at us and calls us friend. Friend because we have access to him. We are his friend because he shares all things with us. If we desire to know the will of God, Jesus will let us know. If we're struggling in life and trying to figure things out, he will let us know through his word, through his spirit. All we have to do is abide in him. But to abide in Jesus is to be Jesus' friend. I thank you for that. I pray for your people. I pray for myself. I will not just be spectators or consumers. God will desire to participate, to act upon what you've called us to do. Let's not be entertained just by the rhetoric within your word or preaching. Let's not be entertained, God, just by sentimental emotions or superficial attachments. God, I pray that we will desire to love people like we should and do exactly what you've commanded us to do. We love you. We thank you. We worship you.